From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Mashiya Lake sings like someone who's grown up without a microphone. Her voice carries far into a crowd, which served her well when she sang on the streets of New Orleans.
You know, something's inside that I have to get out.
At this stage of her life, Lake mostly sings inside. On bandstands around the world, on records, and even in my living room, where in 2013, we recorded our original interview. In 2020, we're going to her house. The coronavirus pandemic has put her career on pause.
I find it to be a roller coaster. Some days there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of tears, and you break down, and then some days you feel pretty positive about it. You know, I think that's perfectly normal.
Mashiya Lake, then and now, after the break. You hear that? That's Mashiya Lake, and she's filing her nails. Not because she's doing her nails right now, but because she's preparing to play for us here on Music Inside Out.
Woo-hoo.
Lake has been singing professionally since she was a child in the 1990s. But her repertoire suggests she's had other lives dating back to the early part of the last century, when people were buying phonographs and drinking absinthe in its original form. Lake and her band, the Little Bighorns, have performed across the U.S. and Europe and cut albums featuring old melodies and songs that Lake wrote. And when Lake sings, she brings an early jazz sensibility to her songcraft and presentation that places her as an honest-to-goodness, modern-day chanteuse. Mashiya Lake joins us here at my house in New Orleans. Thanks so much for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
When it rained 5 days and the sky turned black as night. Oh, when it rained 5 days, the sky turned black as night. Troubles going on in the low. Now when it thunders and lightning and that wind begin to blow, when it thunders and it lightning and that wind begin to blow. To go. Backwater blues cause me to pack my things and go. Oh, backwater blues cause me to pack my things and go. Place for this poor old girl to go.
Excellent. You have self-confidence, Mashiya Lake.
I have no choice.
I like that a lot. So I call you a chanteuse, which suggests that you're fetching, you've got a great pair of lungs, and you create something magical that happens when you step on stage. But that word doesn't necessarily cover all that you can do because you sing so many different kinds of music. This all began in Oregon?
Well, I guess so, because that's where I was born. But the music began in South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Because that's where we were living when I was nine, when I began. My parents had divorced, and my mama was going out looking for a new husband and would take me and my sister along to this place called the Elk Creek Steakhouse and Lounge that housed the South Dakota Opry. And they had a singing contest one night. It was all grown-ups and very, very sincere, you know. They were very serious about it. And so they thought it was really cute when I was like, well, I want to be in the singing contest. I've had 3 Shirley Temples. I'm ready to go. And I got up and sang Walking After Midnight by Patsy Cline. And, well, they were quite surprised about the sound that came out of this little tiny redheaded girl. So I won the contest. I won $500.
Not bad.
Yeah. And then they gave me a job. And I sang 2 songs every Saturday night, and I got paid $25 a song.
Well, okay, you know, truth be told, you're still a little redheaded girl, okay? So
yeah, I haven't grown much since then.
I don't think you have, right? But you know, we're going to have to ask you if you can sing a little bit of the song for us, Walking After Midnight.
Oh, sure. I have to do a cappella, though.
That's fine.
That's all right. I go out walking after midnight, out in the starlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. I walk for miles out on the highway. That's just my way of saying I love you. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you. Is that enough, or you want me to go to the bridge? I could do the bridge.
Do the bridge!
I stopped to see a weeping willow crying on his pillow. Maybe he's crying for me. And as the skies turn gloomy, night winds whisper to me, I'm lonesome as I can be. I go out walking after midnight, out in the starlight, just hoping that you'll be somewhere out walking after midnight, searching for me. Bow, bow. That was the slide at the end of the guitar.
Not bad. That is fantastic. You know, there's a recording, actually, of Patsy Cline just after she'd recovered from a terrible car accident. I don't know if you ever heard that recording, because
no.
I know that you have just been recovering from a terrible bicycle accident.
That is correct.
You know, a lot of folks been asking, well, what happened to you? You look kind of beat up. No, seriously, another woman tried to pass another car in front of my brother and I and hit us head on. And this happened about June the 14th, and it broke my hip, dislocated it, and broke my right arm and cut my face up a little bit. And in 3 months, I'll go back for more plastic surgery, and then they say they're going to give me a facelift and it's going to make me like new. And until then, I'm so glad to be back. Thank you. I fall to pieces each time I see you again.
I bet she needed to sing so bad after that.
Do you really need to sing?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. It's a need. It's a soulful need to do it. You know, it's something's inside that I have to get out, you know? Like it wells up too much if I don't. It's like there's this little steam button or something on my head, and if I don't press the steam button, that it builds up too much, you know? Like after the bike accident, I went and did a gig the next day.
Are you
and
serious?
And it felt so good to sing. It hurt, you know, because my head's hurt. Like there was pressure, but a couple of Advils and a beer, and I was fine. And I got to sing Etta James' I'd Rather Go Blind with the rock and roll band, and it felt incredible. Like it's healing. It's part of the healing process. And while medical professionals may say that you need to stay home and rest, and they're probably right, but your soul needs things to heal yourself as well.
That's certainly true. Although we should say for the kiddies at home, an Advil and a beer is not
The
prescribed prescription.
No,
okay?
No. Don't do this at home, kids.
For a light concussion.
This works for me, doesn't work for most other people, and it's probably not right at all.
So on that night in South Dakota when you wowed them with Walking After Midnight, Obviously, a career was born. Did your mother ever find a new husband?
Oh, yeah. They've been married. Oh, geez. I can't do math right now. They've been married since then.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, she found her man.
In that bar?
Yeah.
That bar, I'm telling you, you need to put a plaque on that bar door, don't you?
Yeah, I might go back there with a Sharpie someday.
It's a great idea. But just reading about your life is so fascinating. It's almost as if it's a tale for a great film, to be honest with you, or a great novel.
Well, I'm going
to
write a book when I'm done.
Good.
If I don't forget, I just what happens.
Try not to forget. Yeah. But you not only, you know what I mean, had this great Hollywood moment of wowing the crowd as a child, but then you went on to join the circus.
Right. But it wasn't a conventional circus by any means.
Tell us the name of it. It's hard to pronounce.
Yeah, well, it was the Know Nothing Family Circus Sideshow that was touring with the End of the World Circus. It's not your average kind of thing. It was more like not circus tents, but nightclubs, you know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of shock value stuff.
You mean like the glass eating and the fire dancing?
Yes,
specifically.
Yes, and like walking on swords, stuff like that, you know.
But how does one eat glass and live to tell the tale?
Well, it's very simple. You just chew it up and swallow it. That's pretty much how it goes.
You're kidding me.
No, it's that simple.
And no esophageal issues after something like that?
No, crazy.
How much chewing are you doing?
Well, you chew pretty good.
You chew it down to sand?
Pretty much, yeah. That's why it's light bulbs and not like mugs, you know, because it's very thin glass.
Gotcha.
And I wouldn't like just take a bite out of the light bulb because I'm a dainty lady.
Of course.
So I would have somebody come up out of the audience and break it into bite-sized pieces for me. And then I would eat it.
Oh, well, it's good to know that there's a method to this.
But I'm retired. Just for the record, I'm never doing that again.
Really?
No, no.
Can't be convinced. No Uh-oh. Amount of money.
Well.
Seems I'm always that way. It's a rhythm in me. I got music in my soul. Rhythm will make me reach my goal. I don't know what I've been told. It's a rhythm in me. When my baby walks with me down the avenue, he's as happy as can be. He feels that rhythm too. Everybody knows I'm hot. They all wonder what I got. Jazz has got me on that spot. It's the rhythm in me.
Where does your voice come from?
Well, physically or?
Well, no, I mean, because it's such an extraordinary voice.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, that showed itself so early in life.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, Judy Garland's from that part of the world. I mean, she's from, is it Minnesota? Grand Rapids? And all originally. So how do these little girls from the Midwest end up with these big, big silo voices?
I don't think I had the definitive answer for that. I don't know. Out of oppression comes creativity, I guess. And if you're an artistic person in a small town in the Midwest, you're maybe not accepted like the other children. And out of that duress comes music and creativity.
I'm gonna live the life that I sing about in my songs. I'm gonna stand up for right and always shun the wrong. If I'm in a crowd, if I'm alone, if I'm in the street or in my home, yeah, I gotta live the life that I sing about. In my song, every day, everywhere, on that busy thoroughfare, folk may watch me, some may mock me, say I'm a fool, but I don't care. I can't sing one thing.
hell, devil undercover. I'm gonna live the life that I sing about, yeah, in my songs. Every day, every night, I must always walk in the light. Some mistake me, underrate me, because I wanna do what's right. I can't go to church and shout all day Sunday, go out, get drunk and raise hell on a Monday. I gotta live the life I sing about in my soul.
Y'all.
That's Mashiya Lake making magic with the great Tom McDermott at the club Chickiwawa in New Orleans. This is our 2013 interview with Lake at my house, and will be followed by a 2020 catch-up at her house. Stay with us. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. A while back, we invited singer Mashiya Lake for an interview at my house in New Orleans. She sounds good anywhere. But here she is on record with her band, the Little Bighorns, singing Don't Start With Me.
Baby, aren't you coming to bed? I gotta rest my weary head. We've been fussing and fighting all night long. I'm tired of hearing how I done you wrong. Baby, won't you let me be? Come and share a dream with me. Tell me some lies just to ease my mind. Baby, aren't you coming to bed?
When Mashiya Lake takes the mic, it's sometimes hard to tell what day it is or what year. Her tastes run toward the first half of the 20th century, when women singers wore evening dresses cut on the bias and flowers in their hair. But Lake is decidedly modern, and she has the tattoos to prove it. She has ink accents across her brow, at her temples, on her chin, across her shoulders, on her arms, on her chest.
For some reason, I've just always been fascinated with tattoos. And when I was 12, I told my mom, much to her chagrin, that I was going to be covered from head to toe someday. And she thought I was just being rebellious, but I was serious. And I didn't see my father for 17, 18 years, and found him 4 or 5 years ago, and found out that I'm a quarter Haida, which is a tribe off the coast of BC, these
the
islands,
British Columbia?
Yeah, in Canada. And they're a heavily tattooed tribe of people.
Really?
Yeah, so that's something I didn't know. And then I was like, well, that's weird, but makes sense in some kind of way, you know.
Do you believe in sort of atavistic knowledge, you know, the fact that you can sense something even though it has not been told to you or that you've not
read
about?
It's just so strange that it would be a coincidence with all these facts involved, you know.
Exactly. And so when did you start writing music?
I started writing poetry when I was about 12 or 13 years old, and it just kind of sprang from that. I would get full songs in my head, like instruments and everything, almost kind of symphonic, like different parts, but I didn't know how to write it down and didn't know how to play an instrument. So I would be in bands with people, and they would figure out the chords, but once the band dissipated, that song would be gone from me.
Oh,
I wouldn't be able to play it. So I started teaching myself instruments so that I could carry the songs with me still.
That's such a great story. But, you know, on your most recent album with the Little Bighorns, which is called Fooler's Gold, it's a fantastic album.
Thank you.
It combines some already known melodies with songs that you've written.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write Fooler's Gold?
Yes, I did.
Does it come from Fool's Gold, which is...
Yes, kind of.
Which is that wonderful mineral that looks like gold. And
but
so,
it isn't.
It just ain't.
No,
it just
ain't gold. Looks like it. It's shiny.
Right?
You might pick it up and be like, well, this is a gold nugget. And then be slightly disappointed when you find out that it's not.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a play on words with that. That's why I call it Fooler's Gold, because it's about people fooling each other in relationships. That's why it's Fooler's Gold, because you're looking for the real gold and you've just got this rock.
So. And it's true. And how often do relationships actually begin with the utter truth? I mean, I would say that that is rare. I mean, we're all fooling.
Well, I wouldn't know yet. I keep trying, you know?
Exactly.
I'm going to keep trying, but I definitely can't answer that one yet.
Sun was walking into town, casting all his glances down. When that blue-eyed girl he found ran her straight into the ground. But at first was sweet and kind, but only tears and ash behind. In a dash, those flashing eyes, we fit more crocodiles than wise. Many have heard the tale, many live it as well. Love is made of Fooler's Gold.
What is that? That's a dance beat. Is that a rumba or is that a... I don't know.
We just call it a Latin beat.
It's a Latin beat?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if that's the scientific term for it, but that's how we refer to it. So yeah, it's a Latin beat with a doo-wop feel.
I wonder, though, if your experience as a street performer, because you when you used to first started in New Orleans, you were performing with your group on the street, you know what I mean? And you know, there's quite a lot of pressure on someone who's performing on the street to actually bring the folks in, not just to have them wave at you as they're walking by.
Right. They have to stop.
and hopefully they're going to dig deep to support the band.
Yeah. Well, we did quite well. And we had dancers performing with us. And that visual was part of what arrested people to stop. And we would have like big circles of crowds around us. And we did quite well. So well, in fact, I got to quit my kitchen job, which was very frightening because I was like, well, what if it rains, you know? There's no guarantee. It's not a steady living. But what that taught me is that it's always going to work out. I can always take care of myself somehow. It taught me not to worry, just to do one thing at a time. No matter how small, like take a little step and focus on making that step. And then from there, just it ascends, you know. the time I made my first record, I saved money and I had no idea what I was doing. And I just took it one step at a time and whoa, then it was done and I had a record. Awesome.
Well, what's that line from Churchill? Is it remain calm and keep going? Is that there's this wonderful
oh, is it that
quote?
One? Keep calm and carry on.
Yes, that's
oh,
it. Keep
yeah.
calm and carry on. Where does a song like Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down come from? Is that you or is that
oh,
a
no,
well-known
no, that's
song?
Oh, no, that's a traditional song
mm-hmm.
from, I believe, 1900. It was a Negro spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the politically correct thing?
Yeah, yeah, totally. It can't be the people of color spiritual.
Right.
Doesn't have the same snap.
Satan, your kingdom must come down. Satan, your kingdom must come down. You've been ruling your evil all over this town. Satan, your kingdom must come down. My sister said to pray your kingdom down. My sister said to pray your kingdom down.
Vocalizing, don't you?
I have, yeah.
What can you tell us about how to approach singing in front of others?
Well, don't smoke cigarettes. Don't drink brown things like coffee and whiskey. Drink a lot of water.
Thank you, Mother.
Is what you can do. And sing from your diaphragm, definitely. Don't sing with your throat, which seems like a weird thing. You have to kind of, what my teacher told me was imagine that your throat is open and sound is just passing through it and not hitting any of the sides or anything like that.
As when you're singing, imagine yourself on a 3-lane highway and you're in the middle lane. That's a good
analogy.
When you did a wonderful mixtape list for an outfit called the NOLA Defender.
Oh, you saw that? I can't even remember what I put on that thing.
It is fantastic.
Oh, great.
You know,
can you show it to me later?
I can show it to you right now.
Oh, cool.
There you go.
Wow.
And it really not only suggests, you know, your emotional depth, but it also suggests a certain taste in music that illustrates a fearlessness about emotion. So you mention a song that we, as American music listeners, have come to know as Gloomy Sunday, which was a Billie Holiday song.
Well,
but it doesn't start with Billie Holiday.
No. It was composed in 1932 by a man named Rezo Sures.
Yes.
Based on a poem by a Hungarian man named Laszlo Javor. It's called the Hungarian Suicide Song.
Mindig a vasárnap, könnyű ciò così italo chiameremo vamos. Somoru guardarlo.
It was originally about the horrors of war. For some reason, the English translation ended up being about the loss of a lover.
Sunday is blooming, my hours are slumberless. Dearest, the shadows I live with are numberless. Little white flowers will never wake the new, not where the black coat of sorrow has taken you. Angels have no thought of ever returning you. Would they be angry if I thought of joining you? Gloomy Sunday.
There's something about that melody that's just so beautiful. And this song has been covered by so many people. You should check out the Paul Robeson version.
Then
came a Sunday when you came to find me. They bore me to church and I left you behind me. My eyes could not see one I wanted to love. And the flowers are forever above me. Last of all
sadness can people stand in a concert? When you put together your playlist for a show, how much can you go this way before you've got to bring them back and make them feel happy again?
It's situational. When I do my solo shows and play the instruments, I'll do like three in a row like that, but then try to bring it up at least with tempo a little bit, you know. Not to put people on an emotional roller coaster, but if you bring them down, you gotta bring them back up.
But, you know, I love that song you chose. It's a big Spider Becky song.
Oh.
I'll be a friend with pleasure.
Right. Well, let's just be friends. Who hasn't heard that line out there?
Can you do a little bit for us, even a cappella, a little bit?
Uh-huh. Right from the start, you played a part. I gave you my heart with pleasure. Your hand caress brought happiness. I answered yes with pleasure. Sunset till dawn, though you are gone, dreams linger on like treasure. If you intend, this is the end. I'll be your friend with pleasure.
That'll bring them back.
Hey! All right, good. Yeah, we had to come back from that Gloomy Sunday conversation somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
With heartache. What better?
But you
funny
know
how that's happier. But that's one thing I love about the old jazz songs is they'll take, like, some pretty heavy emotional content, lyrical content, and then pair it with these bright major chords and make it happy.
That's Mashiya Lake at my house in 2013. Coming up, what a difference 7 years make. We're going to Lake's house. Stay with us. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. Since our 2013 interview with Mashiya Lake, her band released yet another album called Bad Kids Club, and Lake started a family. She's also recorded an album in Denmark that won a national award there. She's now living in the mid-city neighborhood of New Orleans and grappling with the realities of a world that's been paralyzed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Live music performances in the city have stopped, except via the internet or pop-up concerts outdoors, in which musicians and listeners stand a healthy distance apart. The situation has prompted Music Inside Out to talk with Lake again, the only follow-up interview we've ever done. On a glorious spring day, we're sitting under a pecan tree in her backyard, about 9 feet apart. Toys are everywhere, along with a yellow dog named Titi. Lake says the singer Dolly Parton suggested a name for her daughter during a concert break in New Orleans.
I was like, hey, Dolly, any name ideas? Because I was 7 months pregnant, and she put her hands on my belly and said, if she's got pretty red hair like her mama, name her Jolene. And then she ran onto the stage. So, funny thing is, her given name that her father gave her is Saoirse, which is an Irish name. But lately, when she introduces herself, she goes, I'm Jolene.
Oh, my
goodness.
Isn't that
crazy?
So this child is now, who's about 3 years old.
Three, yeah.
Is now answering to the name of one of the great sirens of popular music.
Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. He talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene.
There's a whole, like, subgenre, something called the other woman song, right?
Yes.
And it's usually about, like, kicking the other woman's butt for stealing her man. You know, no fault of the man for cheating on the woman, but you stole him, and like knocking that woman down. But what Dolly did with her other woman song is praise the other woman. Thank you, Dolly Parton. Because oppression works when the people that are oppressed are divided, fighting amongst each other. So I don't know if Dolly did that consciously. I think that's gorgeous.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
You know, what kinds of songs did you sing to this child as a baby, and what kinds of songs can she handle now?
When she was a little tiny baby, I'd sing her songs every morning, like You Are My Sunshine, simple things like that. What's that John Prine song I used to sing to her? In spite of ourselves, we'll end up sitting on a rainbow. Against all odds, honey, we're the big door prize. We're gonna spite our noses right off of our faces. There won't be nothing but big old hearts dancing in our eyes.
That really is beautiful.
In spite of ourselves.
In spite of ourselves. Oh, my word. And so how did having a child change you as an artist?
Wow. It changed me in so many ways. Like, it made me start taking better care of myself.
So what's a habit that you had before that you now sort of break yourself from doing?
I pretty much always tried to eat healthy. Back then it was to balance my rock and roll lifestyle. I thought maybe that it would even out. If I exercised and ate healthy, then with drinking and partying at gigs, that, you know, I'd maybe find some kind of middle ground.
And now I'm not looking for a middle ground. I'm just kind of, I just cut out the party, you know, except in healthy moderation. But
and so shortly after your daughter was born, mm-hmm. you went to Europe for an extended period.
Well, yeah. I mean, I went to Europe 3-4 times a year before her, especially in Berlin. Had like a circle and a base of friends. We went over there, I think she was about a year and a half old, spent about 10 months, but I came back home to New Orleans. I had a band out of Berlin that I was going to do a project with.
What was the band called?
They were called the Dizzy Birds, and they broke up on the tour, on the first tour.
Really?
Yeah. So I tried to hold it together, made a recording with them in March.
March of what year?
2019.
Okay.
It's yet as unreleased for a couple of reasons. So I've got that one waiting in the escrow.
You were in Ireland for some time as well,
Ireland was kind of like a base of operations. I actually only had 2 gigs in Ireland the entire time that was kind of home base.
You were in Cork?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it was lovely, but also like, man, it sure made me appreciate what I have at home. It was really lonely, and while people are very friendly there, like, I didn't make a friend.
Really?
Uh-huh. I played music with some really, really talented musicians, but it wasn't the same.
Well, let me ask you this. Michelle, like, now, in 2019, you made what became an award-winning album with Søren Seegumfeldt. This is in Denmark. He's a Danish saxophone player and composer. And he's one of the founding members of the band String Swing, which used to do a lot of Django Reinhardt tunes. And so what's so interesting about this album, which of course, it's called, I should say, This Is Michelle Lake.
Hello, world. Nice to meet you.
Is that in many ways you all seem almost destined to meet as artists and to create something like this. It seems like you complement one another so well.
Well, that was a happy surprise. I hadn't met Søren until the moment that I drove up into his driveway to record the record.
That's insane. Were you not aware of his music? Were you not aware of what Søren Seegumfeldt sounded like?
No. Sorry, Søren, I wasn't. I got some emails, and he was like, you want to come make this record? And it's with this record company, and we can pay you this much. And I was like, woohoo, let's do it.
Do you know that he has composed music for some wonderful animated films that maybe your child would love?
Oh. Søren chose some songs for the album that I really like that I didn't expect a jazz musician to like necessarily.
Like what?
You know, like the Nick Cave song. And
you mean Up Jump the Devil?
Up Jump the Devil, and songs that have resonated with me for my entire life. There's, you know, some songs I like better than others on that, of course, but there's a couple that we collaborated on that I'm pretty proud of.
But what's so interesting about the album, as I'm sure you know, is that it has this beguiling mix of very charming arrangements, but then at the same time, these sort of kick-in-the-gut verses or lyrics. You know, the album starts off with Everybody Knows, which is the Leonard Cohen co-write. That sort of bespeaks this very world-weary, tone toward a world that in many ways has disappointed,
you know? Yeah.
And all, and then we keep going, and we're still world weary by the time we ended. I think there were, what, 5 cover songs? Everybody knows Because I Got High, which Afro Man sang, Up Jumped the Devil, as you say, Nick Cave. And then Lungs by Townes Van Zandt, which I thought was fascinating.
I love that tune.
It's very timely, I have to say, at this moment in our world history. Not because the thrust of the song is about a pandemic, but because the song, you know, starts off with that beautiful verse, you know, well, won't you lend your lungs to me? Mine are collapsing.
1, 2, 3, 4. Me, mine are collapsing. Let my feet and bitterly breathe up the time that's passing. Breath I'll take and breath I'll give. Pray the day's not poised. Stand among the ones that live in lonely indecision. Fingers walk the darkness down. Mind is on the moonlight. Gold you found, you fool, it's only moonlight. If you start to take it home, your hands will turn to butter. You better leave this dream alone, try to find another.
There's something very moving about that song, you know?
I didn't realize how much it applied. I was getting a little teary.
It does apply to today, doesn't it? And so when did you come back to New Orleans? And, you know, was that last year? Was that 2019? 2018? Something like that.
May.
Did these experiences of traveling, these experiences of being away, did they give you a chance to write songs that really mean something to you? Or have you found more of a, you know, more of an urge to write in you know, in your return?
I haven't written anything since I've been home. But there might be some material coming out of this crazy global experience that we're all going through together.
I did notice on your website for your upcoming schedule that April is clear, May is clear,
mm-hmm.
June is clear. It's clear sailing.
It's clear sailing. I don't know how smooth it'll be, but it's definitely clear.
So how are you spending your days?
Whew. Well, the girls are out of school for a couple of weeks.
The girls meaning your daughter?
My daughter, mm-hmm. and my roommate's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
We just put them back in their daycare because it's still open on a much smaller scale. You know, they're taking your temperature when you go in, and they're being very safe and clean about it. So we'll see how that goes. We've been trying to focus on the positive and stay positive. Planting a garden, taking the girls out to nature as much as possible. And you know, some days are easier than others. I find it to be a roller coaster. Some days there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of tears and you break down, and then some days you feel pretty positive about it, you know. I think that's perfectly normal.
What would you have been doing at this time?
Oh, Lord. Preparing for Jazz Fest or French Quarter Fest. I make my money from live gigs, you know.
Right. And so right now, you know, I mean, at this moment in time, where people are worrying about this pandemic, what worries you most?
There's a lot to worry about. I worry about our treasures making it through. And by treasures, I mean like some people that already haven't made it through. John Prine, you know, we're at the cusp of something that will change us forever, and I hope that it changes us forever in good ways.
Like what?
Like it's kind of, well, taking care of our earth, for one thing, universal health care for another. Now our society has come to a screeching halt, And people are thinking about the things that they took for granted, I hope. Like, I may not be able to make money as a musician anymore because of this. But what I can do after having a clean bill of health and maybe some tests that are coming, what I can do is deliver groceries to people. And when my money does run out, there will be new ways to make it. Just have to adapt. I'm never going to stop playing music, of course. This wouldn't be the first time in my life that I don't make money playing music. I'm not supporting myself doing that, you know.
Well, whatever you do, please don't start chewing glass again.
Oh, Lord, no, I'm retired from that.
Thank God. Mashiach Lake, I'm really grateful to you for spending time with us today.
Oh, thank you, Gwen. You too.
Even 9 feet away, your warmth is palpable.
And, thank you. You too. You're so easy to talk to. It's a joy to hang out with you.
Mashiach Lake spoke to us from her backyard in New Orleans. And you've been listening to Music Inside Out. Our show was produced by Lynette Johnson, Jenny Lawson, Margaret Howes, Garrett Pittman, Lars Howell, Jason Ryan, and Justin Armstrong. Music Inside Out is produced in partnership with WWNO. For more information about Mashiach Lake, go to our website at musicinsideout.org. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out.
Major support for Music Inside Out comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection. Music Inside Out also receives support from the Ruth U. Fertel Foundation, the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, the Pinkalope Foundation, Baba Jim Istanbul Studios and Mastering, Adam Newman Designs, Shop Nadine Blake, and WWNO. Donations to Music Inside Out are tax-deductible, thanks to our partnership with National Performance Network. For more information about how you can support our program, please go to our website at musicinsideout.org/support.
Elephants have wrinkles and a money clip. Elephants are big and very hairy. Elephants can live inside.